Please turn again to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. The subject that I want to preach upon this evening is simply entitled The Conversion of King Manasseh. And I want to base my remarks on verses 12 and 13 of this chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 12 and 13. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee that you're able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee, O God, that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment of Jesus a cleansing will receive. And we thank thee, O God, for thy precious word tonight. And we pray, Lord, as we turn to thy word now, that you would come and fill us afresh with thy gracious Holy Spirit. O God, we're so conscious that we need thee. We pray for those in the meeting who are not saved. We ask thee, Lord, that you would speak to them, that you would reveal unto them their need of salvation. And we pray, Lord, that even tonight they would call upon thee for salvation. O God, we thank thee that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray, Lord, that there might be those in this service who will turn from their sin and seek the Lord for salvation. Lord, bless us now as we come to consider this subject tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. If Saul of Tarsus is the chief of sinners in the New Testament, then Manasseh is the chief of sinners in the Old Testament. There's no doubt that when you study the life of King Manasseh, that he was a wicked, vile, sinful, ungodly individual. He came to the throne of Judah when he was only 12 years of age, and he reigned for 55 years. And during most of those years, he committed some of the vilest sins that any king of Judah ever committed. Not only did he defile himself with his sins, but he caused Judah to enter into gross sin with him. In 2 Chronicles 33 verse 9, we read, Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen. The sin that Manasseh committed, and the sin that he caused Judah to commit, was worse, the Bible tells us, than the heathen. Among his many sins, Manasseh built altars for Baal worship and put them in the house of God at Jerusalem. He worshipped all the host of heaven. Every false god that he could think of, Manasseh built altars to and served them. And if that wasn't bad enough, he sacrificed his own children to these false gods. He used enchantments. He used witchcraft. He dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards. In other words, he dabbled in the occult. So great was Manasseh's sin that the Bible says that Manasseh wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke the Lord to anger. Indeed, when you read this chapter of God's word, it reveals unto us that Manasseh was indeed a sinner of the deepest dye. And yet, in 2 Chronicles 33, we have recorded here the wonderful conversion of this ungodly king. Here in this portion of Scripture, we read about Manasseh being saved by the grace of God. And I believe that we can pinpoint his conversion to our text tonight, verses 12 and 13. Very simply this evening, I want us to consider the conversion of King Manasseh. And as we do so, I want us to consider three things in his conversion. And I pray that if you're not saved tonight, that you will listen very carefully. If the Lord is able to save such a man as Manasseh, he's able to save you. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care how far down the road of iniquity you have traveled. If the Lord is able to save such a man as Manasseh, king of Judah, then the Lord tonight is able to pluck you as a brand from the burning and redeem your precious soul for time and for eternity. But first of all, I want you to notice the reproving of his sin. Take a look what it says at the beginning of verse 12. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. When Manasseh was in affliction, the affliction spoken of there was God reproving Manasseh for his sin. Verse 11 tells us that God caused the host of the king of Assyria to come up against Judah. And when this took place, Judah was defeated and King Manasseh was taken captive and brought bound to Babylon. Look at verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. This was God's reproving of Manasseh's sin. And believe it or not, this reproving by God was the first step in Manasseh's conversion. The word reprove means to rebuke. And here God rebukes Manasseh's sin. And by this reproving and rebuking, God is revealing to Manasseh that he is very displeased with his ungodliness, that he's very displeased with his sin. And God here wanted Manasseh to see that what he had done was wrong, what he had done was wicked, and what he had done was sinful. Now, if you were here last Sunday night, we saw this in the life of Saul of Tarshish. We considered the conversion of Saul of Tarshish last Lord's Day evening. And God rebuked Saul's sin. He said to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And the Lord is doing the same here with Manasseh. But God is taking an even firmer hand with Manasseh because he brings Manasseh bound in chains to Babylon. And this reproving of Manasseh's sin was God showing mercy to Manasseh. And I want you to notice that, and I want to point that out to you. And it's important that you see that. Men and women, the reprovings of God are a demonstration of God's mercy to sinners. God reproves and rebukes your sin because he wants you to turn from your sin and be saved. You see, the reprovings of God demonstrate God's love. But the question is this: what is God going to have to do in order to bring you to your senses? What is God going to have to do in your life in order for you to turn from your sin and be saved? Before the prodigal son returned to the father's house, he had to be brought down to the pig pen where he found himself in want. Before the Philippian jailer repented, God had to send an earthquake to awaken him out of his sin. Before Nicodemus was converted, the Lord Jesus had to tell him that his religion was vain and that he needed the new birth. And before Manasseh was saved, God had to judge a nation and bring him bound in chains to be a captive in Babylon. But this was done so that Manasseh would recognize that he was a sinner and that he needed to turn away from his sin. Let me emphasize again tonight, as far as you're concerned, if you're not saved, you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And your sin will be judged someday if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior. But God wants to save you now. He wants to forgive you for your sin now. He wants to cleanse you from your sin now. And the Lord, in order to draw you to himself, will reprove you. He will rebuke you. He will convict you. You see, God this evening is wanting to show his mercy towards you. I wonder, is the Lord tonight convicting you of your sin? Before God saves a sinner, he will convict, he will reprove of sin. And of course, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us this clearly. Indeed, over there in John's Gospel and the chapter 16 and verse 8. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking about the Holy Spirit, this is what the Savior says, and when He has come, that's the Holy Ghost, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I pray tonight that God the Holy Spirit will reprove you of your sin, show you that you are a sinner before God. And I pray tonight that the Lord will reveal unto you your great need of God's salvation. We're all familiar, I'm sure, with the story of Felix in the Bible. And we read about Felix in Acts chapter 24. And of course, the Lord took a dealing in Felix's life. We read there in that portion of Scripture, in verse 25, "And as Felix reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." He trembled under the convicting power of God. He trembled as he thought of his sin. He trembled as he thought of meeting God unprepared. Now, unfortunately for Felix, he did not respond positively to the mercy of God, because he rejected the message of the gospel. And he said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." And of course, that more convenient season never came. I wonder, is the Lord speaking to your heart tonight? I believe He is. I believe that there are those here tonight, and the Lord has been dealing with your heart and speaking to your soul, and the Lord has been revealing to you, perhaps for the first time in your life, but the Lord has been revealing to you that you are a sinner. And tonight again, He's reproving you of your sin. He does that because He loves you. The reproofs of God demonstrate the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God to sinners. Because before the sinner will call upon the Lord for salvation, before the sinner will call unto the Lord for mercy, the sinner has to see his sin. My friend, you'll never see your sin until God reveals it to you. And that's what's happening here in the life of Manasseh. In verse 12, we see that when he was in affliction, in other words, when he was being reproved for his sin by God, it wasn't until then he began to think seriously about his soul and his soul's salvation. But there's something else I want you to notice here. Take a look with me again at verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 33. And you'll see not only the reproving of his sin, but you will notice the repenting of his sin. Look what it says in verse 12. "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplications." Manasseh repented of his sin. In other words, he turned away from his sin. Not only was he sorry for his sin, not only did he abhor his sin, not only was he grieved over his sin, but he repented of his sin. And that's very important when you come to consider the conversion of Manasseh. Indeed, it's very important when you come to consider the conversion of any sinner, because the sinner cannot be converted until there is repentance. And here we see in this chapter this ungodly man turning away from his sin and repenting his sin. In King Manasseh's repentance, we see his supplication. In other words, he prayed. That's what verse 12 is teaching when it says he besought the Lord his God. In verse 13, "And he prayed unto him." He's confessing his sin to God. He's acknowledging that he is the sinner, that he has broken the law of God and trampled under the commandments of God. But not only in King Manasseh's repentance do we see his supplication, but in King Manasseh's repentance we see his humility. Because verse 12 tells us that he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. What's this man doing? He's repenting his sin. My friend, let me ask you a question tonight. Answer the question honestly within your own heart and soul. Have you ever repented of your sin? Have you ever turned away from your sin? Because you cannot be saved until you do. The Bible tells us clearly, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And over there in the book of Acts and chapter 3 and the verse 19, we read these words, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And time again, throughout the Word of God, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, the sinner is exhorted to repent and turn away from their sin, if they're ever going to be saved by the grace of God. And that's what you must do tonight. I say that lovingly. I say that tenderly, but I say that dogmatically. And here we have it in the conversion of Manasseh. It wasn't good enough for Manasseh just to be sorry for what he had done. He had to repent, and he did repent. And you know, when you study this passage of Scripture, you see clearly the evidence of Manasseh's repentance. Take a look with me there at verse 14. It says, now after this, after what? Well, after what happened in verse 12 and 13. What happened in verse 12 and 13? Well, the man was converted. The man repented of his sin. After this. And then look at verse 15. After this, he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. Look at verse 16. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Now there we can see the evidence of this man's conversion. In verse 15, he removes the idols. In verse 16, he starts to worship the Lord according to the word of God. Here is the evidence of true repentance. True repentance means turning away from sin. And true repentance means beginning to worship and serve the Lord according to his word and according to his truth. And that's what's happened to Manasseh here in this chapter of God's precious, precious word. Oh, my friend, have you ever repented of your sin? Have you ever turned away from your sin? Have you ever been truly converted? If you have, then you will hate all that God hates, and you will love all that God loves. You will turn from your sin, and you will worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You will know what it is to be saved. You will know what it is to have the assurance of heaven. You will know what it is to have the peace of God in your heart. There's a wonderful little phrase at the end of verse 13. I hope you didn't miss it. Look what it says. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. In other words, then Manasseh knew the Lord, that he was God. Here we have a man, and his life is completely changed, completely transformed. Now, we were seeing this last week when we considered the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, but we're seeing it again tonight, this time in the Old Testament. This time, we're dealing with a king. But you know, friend, it doesn't matter who the sinner is. All sinners need to acknowledge their sinnership before God, and all sinners need to acknowledge their spiritual state before God, and all sinners need to see their sin, and all sinners need to repent of their sin, and all sinners need to have their sins forgiven. And if you can't look back to a day in your life when you, by faith, knelt at the cross and repented of your sin and confessed your sin to the Lord and asked the Lord Jesus to save you and come into your life and cleanse you from your iniquity, and friend, you're not saved. You're not converted. When did God's grace reach down and save your precious soul? When was your life changed for time and for all eternity? Oh, here we have an ungodly king, and the Lord is dealing with him. I pray that God will deal with you tonight, that God will reveal to you that you're a sinner, and that the Lord will reprove you and rebuke you for your sin. But I pray that in the Lord doing that, that you will see the grace of God and the mercy of God, because the Lord does that to draw you to himself, because he wants you to repent and turn away from your sin and trust him as your own and personal Savior. Oh, would you not trust him tonight? Would you not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer tonight? Thank God if you do, then the Lord will save you for time and for eternity. Now, there's something else I want you to notice here. Turn back to 2 Chronicles 33 again. I want you to notice not only the reproving of his sin, not only the repenting of his sin, but I want you to notice, thirdly, the removing of his sin. Take a look again at verses 12 and 13. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication. Underline that last little phrase there. He was entreated of him, and heard his supplication. In other words, the Lord showed mercy towards him. The Lord forgave him. The Lord cleansed him. The Lord removed his sin from him. The Lord heard his earnest request for forgiveness. That's what the text is teaching us. The text is teaching us that this ungodly man is praying for forgiveness. And he's asking the Lord to forgive him and to cleanse him. And the text tells us that the Lord did forgive him. The Lord heard his earnest request for forgiveness, which meant Manasseh could never be held accountable for his sins again. Now, I'm not going to start quoting all the sins of Manasseh again, but you should consider them again at this point. This man was a vile, wicked, ungodly individual. If anyone deserved hell, it was this man. If anyone deserved the judgment of God, it was this man. He had no respect for God, or for the altar of God, or for the things of God. Indeed, he went out of his way. He went out of his way to provoke the Lord to anger. And yet, we have in this portion of Scripture recorded for us his wonderful conversion and how the Lord removed his sin and forgave his sin. On what grounds did Manasseh find forgiveness? On what grounds was his sins removed? On the grounds of the blood of the Lamb. Look again at verse 16. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed. Sinner, God will remove your sin and God will cleanse your sin, but only on the grounds of the shed blood. God will hear your earnest request for forgiveness and cleanse you from your sin if you come pleading the merits of the precious blood of Christ. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, there's a lovely hymn, and it goes like this. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And thank God this evening, if you're found in this meeting without Christ, still in your sins on your way to a lost eternity, you can have your sins forgiven. You can have your sins removed. You can know cleansing in the precious blood of the Lamb. Listen to what we read in Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Here's the promise to all those who are saved. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. And in Isaiah 55 and the verse 7, we read these words, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a tremendous text of scripture that is. My friend, that's what the Lord will do for you tonight. If you turn to him and cry unto him for mercy, he will forgive you for your sins, all of your sins. He will cleanse you from your sins. And not only will he cleanse you and forgive you, but he will forget all about your sins, because he will cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to remember your sins again. My friend, I will never be made accountable for my sins. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken my sins and borne my sins in his body upon the cross of Calvary. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bore my sins away. Thank God for that. And that's the wonderful promise to all those who come and confess their sin and turn from their sin and trust Christ as their Savior. Thank God. This promise that God has given me, he will give you also. But you've got to forsake your way. You see what the text says in Isaiah 55 verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, I wonder, is there someone here tonight at the close of this gospel meeting, and you realize, recognize that you have never had your sins forgiven? You've never trusted the Lord as your Savior. You need to do that tonight. You need to come and trust the Lord Jesus this evening. You've got to confess your sins to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you can leave this meeting converted, saved, born again, on your way to heaven, knowing that you'll never be in hell. This man's life, Manasseh, was changed forever. His life was completely transformed by the power of God, by the grace of God, and what the Lord did for him. I tell you, friend, the Lord can do for you, but you've got to take the sinner's place, and that's the hardest place to stand in. The hardest thing for the sinner to do is to admit and confess that they're sinners. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is none righteous. Would you take the sinner's place tonight? Would you confess that you're a sinner tonight? And in confessing that you're a sinner, will you be willing to turn from your sin and trust the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer? If you do, the Lord will cleanse you. The Lord will forgive you. The Lord will remove your sins from you. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee this evening for the simplicity of the message of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful conversion that we have recorded in the Old Testament. We thank thee, Lord, for saving Manasseh. We thank thee, Lord, for the grace that you showed to him. And we pray, Lord, that you would show grace to others tonight. We think of those in this meeting who are still strangers to grace and to God. And, oh God, if they were to die right now, they'd be lost forever and forever and forever. And they'd go to hell with their sins. Oh God, have mercy upon such. We pray for a moving of thy gracious Holy Spirit in the lives of sinners. We pray, Lord, that you would turn men unto yourself. And, oh God, do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes, Lord, to turn the sinner to Christ. Oh God, you had to deal very harshly with Manasseh. You had to remove a kingdom. And you had to take him bound in chains to Babylon. before he recognized that he was a sinner. But, O God, we thank Thee that when he turned to Thee, not only did You save him, but You restored him again to Jerusalem. O God, we thank Thee that You're a merciful God. Lord, show mercy to poor, precious souls in this meeting tonight. Draw them lovingly and tenderly to the foot of the cross. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.